Hello and welcome to the program. I thought I would try something different this week, a little bit of a different intro to usual. So this is me, just quiet with nothing else but the whirring of my computer in the background. On the podcast this week, I was very excited to have on the show Arthi Moore. She is a facilitator and leadership coach, but like all my guests, she is so much more. Now, I met Arthi when she was the lead coach in a daily coaching group that I attend called Change Your World Every Day. And she was delivering 30-minute slots every day for 2 weeks at 7 a.m. in the morning. She covered her take on life, on communication techniques, and it was really clear right from the outset with these early live broadcasts that she had a passion and a commitment to leadership skills and empowerment for all. I should say, Arthi lives in South Africa and is of Indian descent, and while she's always faced issues of race, she has never let it faze her. She will walk into any situation expecting the best and somehow manages to achieve it. I have to say, you cannot help but like her. What was fascinating about this conversation is we explored how she grew up in a tight race-driven society. You did not cross the boundary of colour. This was South Africa in the apartheid years. The change happened when Nelson Mandela was elected president and Arthi turned 18. She was one of the first of her generation to go to a mixed race university. So while this podcast mentions race, it is not about race and diversity. It is about those experiences, the crucible that turned Arthi into the powerhouse that she has become. Arthi is the director of two international companies, and she regularly keynotes on the subjects of communication and motivational speaking. She's an international facilitator for the Celebration of Humanities program, and she runs programs on transformational team building, diversity, leadership, and team conflict resolution strategies. She has delivered these programs across Africa, in South Africa, Namibia, Swaziland, Zambia, and the wider world, including the US, London, Hong Kong, and many other places. As you will hear on this program, she has a clarity of purpose that is all about inspiration and empowerment. It is about positively impacting the world by using the African principles of leadership. The most amazing part of all of this for me is this journey started at just 19 years old. I really hope you enjoy this program as much as I enjoyed making it. I hope you enjoy the conversation with Arthi Moore. My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion and purpose. So welcome to Life, Passion and Business. I am delighted today to be with Arthi Moore. Now, I met Arthi through the Change Your World organization because she was one of the guest speakers for a week. And I was so blown away by this lady. She is a speaker and she's a presenter. And that's as much as I probably know about her. I know she works for an organization that delivers training into businesses, but I think Arthi is very much more than this. And I am so looking forward to exploring this conversation. So welcome today. Welcome, Arthi Moore.
Thank you. It's an absolute pleasure to be on your platform.
It's an absolute pleasure to be speaking to you. So look, Arthi, this is Life, Passion and Business. We're all about the exploration about that. And I saw you speak for about a week or so every day. And the passion that came out of you was amazing. So look, where did that come from? What's the story that got you to the Arthi Moore that you are today?
The passion, I think... There's no simple way to answer that question, because I think the passion that I have has got to do with my life's journeys, the things that I've encountered growing up. It's been a life that built me in a way that gratitude taught me some hard lessons. When I was growing up, we came from a family that had everything and nothing at the same time. So I grew up with a dad who was very abusive. He was one of those people that everybody looked up to. He was a role model that everybody thought was the most incredible gentleman on this earth. We had a restaurant, we had cars. We were known as the family to be followed in terms of whatever there was in terms of trends. And I think growing up in that environment, we learned gratitude in that even though we had financial success, there was always emotional distress. And so from a young age, I've had to learn different coping mechanisms and different ways of thinking out of the box to make sure that I did not stagnate in my life because of that part of the journey. And I think reading played a massive role for me, because as I encountered books, that was my hideaway. And the books that I had gave me the impression that there was more to life, and the type of lifestyle that I created was the one that I developed in my thinking. Mm-hmm. And I think the stimulation of words intrigued me so much that I realized it did not matter what was happening in my everyday environment. It was what I could create that would give me the life that I deserved. And my passion has come from reading, from music, from nature especially. I think learning photography, an art teacher took me under his wing at a very early age, and he taught me the beauty of color and painting and photography, and to look at life through a different lens, mm-hmm. if that is a way that I could express that. The lens that he showed me was not what we see with the naked eye, but the one that I could create with my vision. What I chose to take a picture of was based on my clarity of thinking, my perception, what I thought was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I felt that even at the age of 13, learning photography, if I could just find a way to encompass all of the beauty of life and nature and the healing powers of nature, then I could help other people to grow and to help themselves. Being in an environment where there was a lot of abuse, there was...
You wouldn't have had that perception at 13. I mean, what I haven't made clear to our listeners is that you live in South Africa. So it must have been a very different environment to what most people that listen to this podcast experience.
Oh, absolutely. If you look at my cultural background to start with, being in South Africa, a lot of people don't realize the nuances of this country. So one of the things that's very important to know is that, okay, I'm of Indian descent, but I'm the fourth generation Indian, never been to India, mm-hmm. born in South Africa, acclimatized through the entire apartheid system and the segregation of communities in this country, mm-hmm. which means that everybody was separated mm-hmm. in this country according to the color of their skin.
Yeah.
Which meant that in all of the different communities, people had their own cultures, their own traditions, but nobody mixed enough to be able to share knowledge, share wisdom, share experiences. Now, what was important about that is that our community is a very closed community, which means that you don't want to be showing other people of other cultures that there's anything wrong with us as a people. You've got to always have this facade. You've got to always act as if we're having the best life regardless. Yeah. So there's no support from anybody. There's no bigger thinking.
Yeah.
And I think that, that what you've just mentioned right now is really important as part of my journey that I need to acknowledge as well, is that having grown up in that environment, we were very limited in what we had access to in terms of information. Mm. However, it also helped to mold the belief systems that we had.
And your father's situation, you were saying about your father being difficult. I mean, he was molded by the situation he was in.
Yes.
And his behavior was mm-hmm. how he coped with the situation.
Yes.
And I imagine apartheid for him was even more severe than it was for you growing up, because
exactly.
It was fading by the time you were starting to grow up, but in his life, it was probably full on apartheid and with no viewpoint of it ever changing.
No, I mean, okay. So I was about 18 when President Mandela actually came into power. So we also experienced not being able to go into different restaurants where we are not allowed, no access to different types of education that we would have liked to have. So we were on the receiving end. I was even part of environments where there were riots. And I, at 7 years old, watched some of my family being killed by people. Wow. Being burnt in the houses. Wow. During the riots. And that was all the anger between people that was instigated by our government. So I think those all of those experiences do add up. And what I've realized in terms of passion is to have more compassion and understanding for people's journeys. Yes. They're not restricted to what our life's experiences were, but understanding where everybody else comes from, and it's not their fault. It is programming. It is their belief systems that they were ingrained with. It was entire governments with their need for power, actually taking control of people through the words that they use, through the fears that they installed. And
what you've just said to me, though, it really, really opens up that conversation, that 13-year-old girl discovering beauty, because your inner world, which there is beauty, but there's also a lot of ugliness. And you actually found a way of saying, no, I won't be looking at the beauty, the ugliness. I'm going to take pictures of the beauty and appreciate the color. And I think that where that comes from is fascinating for someone. I mean, obviously the teacher helped you, but it must have been in you.
Oh, absolutely. But if we take a step back, a lot of people could use taking the inner beauty and knowing that there's a lot more to an imaginary world than the reality of what we're experiencing and hide away.
Yes.
And what I found was really stunning was the ability to take that inner beauty and know that there's so much more to this world, knowing that there are amazing people out there, and then change the thinking. So where people are hurting and they've been on the receiving end of apartheid and pain and abusive families and environments, was to realize that it was across all of us as human beings around the world. We are not limited based on our country, our culture, our religion, our gender, our age. All of these challenges are experienced by people all over the world in different environments. It's just the intensity in some areas are a lot more and a lot more prominent than others. Many areas, it's actually people don't actually speak about it a lot because there's a stigma attached to it. So the reality of how many people are suffering is worldwide, and it's horrible. But I choose to see the beauty of people in terms of where their potential is and what they could have in their lives based on those experiences. And I found that as I grew up, even with an abusive father, I realized a very important lesson at 16 years old, that not all men are abusers and not all women are abused, which allowed me then to have a different perspective and to honor and respect people, regardless of where they came from, without another prejudgment or another stereotype in my head. And that was important to me because I went through a stage of hurting other people. I became a bully because I did not want to see other people being hurt. So I took on bullies and I hurt them. And that was an important stage in my life to realize that I was justifying being violent by saying that I'm helping other people who are victims. And then I realized that the physical aspect of violence was not the key. It was the emotional changing of people's thoughts and perceptions that they're worth it and that they're worthy. That was the key to helping people grow in their confidence. And also with people who are bullies, for me to take a step back and realize that they are people who are hurting too. And then look at what is the cause, because the bullying is the symptom. And so if we could just change the perspective and listen more carefully with more understanding and compassion, that to help people and guide them to find their voices is much more meaningful than just beating somebody else up and then hoping they get the lessons.
Well, I mean, society still does that, doesn't it? I mean, we use kind of punishments as a kind of deterrent still. I mean, we still are in that logic. You know, you get speeding cameras for, you know, speeding fines for going too fast on the road. You know, you have a camera and you get traffic offences. You get all these things. It's like, you did naughty stuff. And we do the same to our kids, or detention or what have you. It's like, we don't seem to find an alternative way.
Now, there's the amazing thing. African principles of leadership. So through my journey at 18, I went into university for the first time with people of other cultures.
How was that?
And I was able to, at 18, I did 1 year of college. And for the first time, I experienced people of other cultures.
But hang on a minute, 18, that's when President Mandela came to power for you. And you go to university at 18. That was a massive transition point. You
know? Huge.
What was university like? It must have been really, really, there must have been everything from wonderful people to racist people. It must have been a really weird environment.
It was actually stunning for me, though. Because
there were going to be people in there who did not want this change.
Yes. But you see, people were young. We had young people there. And there's the difference. I learned during my travels that racism is an adult's disease.
Yes.
And that children are taught that. And when you're in university, you're just a carefree young person who's escaped your parents. You now have freedom. Everything's exciting and everything's illegal, which means everything is so much more fun. And when you've got comrades in a rebellious state, nobody saw the color of anybody's skin. They just thought, whoa, for the first time, I can kiss somebody of the opposite culture without fear of going to jail.
Oh, yeah.
That there was amazing interactive interactions between people, conversations. Why do you guys do this? How come you do that? I mean, I learned so much in that year about different cultures. And that actually gave me the foundation and intrigued me so much that I wanted to study this further. And that is why, since I was 18, I only did a year of business law, marketing, business management, and I've never worked for anybody in my life since. I've spent the rest of that time learning about, traveling the world to learn about people's cultures, the nuances of their belief systems, where they come from, what makes people tick, what connects them at the level of the heart and the soul, what makes them special. What guided them and what experiences do they have that can add value to my life? And I created programs with a partner of mine to then use that to help other people in corporate companies. And that is where our Celebrating Humanity experience came from. How do we celebrate the human being?
What age when you started that?
The Celebrating Humanity experience.
Yeah.
So one of my companies is the Celebrating Humanity International Company. So for the last 21 years, we've been taking all of those programs and developing it around the world to help people to connect across the level of, regardless of their culture, their biases, their programming, their unconscious biases, their gender, the generational gap, whatever it is that limits their belief in how they can be effective as people. We have stripped that all apart in an interactive program that allows them to then embrace themselves as human beings.
So when did you start
knowing that they are loved and respected as human beings.
When did you start this business?
19.
When you were 19?
Yeah.
Wow.
My partner at university. Wow. While I was there, he was 25 years older than me.
Yeah.
He was of Irish descent. He was also Catholic. So yeah. Everything totally opposite to my culture, my religion, my age, our experiences, our life's experiences. And I married him when I was 21.
Okay.
But he had a training company. And what I did was I took over his training company and I realigned it from a small business into an international business within 3 years. And from there, we just continued building that company until it became a force to be reckoned with in this country, taking on diversity and inclusion, mergers of entire corporates, getting people to the point where they realize that they are just simply human beings. And maybe I just find you, maybe you and I don't like each other because something that you do just irritates me, or I'm just very irritating. And as human beings, we are so sensitive that we always bring it back down to, it's because I'm a man or because I'm a woman, it's because I'm an age. No, those excuses that limits us or allows us to stagnate in self-pity of why somebody doesn't like us, which prevents us from looking at ourselves and where our disconnect is with a human being. And so I found all of those nuances in human behavior, and I kept studying and reading, and I interacted with some amazing authors around the world. If you look up Colin Rose, Gordon Dryden, Jeanette Force, they mastered the arts of understanding the learning styles, the personality types, and the seven intelligence of people, and worked out how you can take all of those nuances and put it into accelerated learning techniques. How can you stimulate the brain of a person from before they're born until 60 years old, which allows us then to have a conversation about any subject and stimulate the person in all of their learning styles and personality types, which means that I now have an advantage of adjusting the way I communicate and connect with you at the level that you need to receive it at, which then allows us to have a much more meaningful, deeper conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Listen more carefully. We understand a lot more, and there's a lot more compassion in the way we connect.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of these things all added up as part of that journey from apartheid South Africa, being separated up until 18 years, to having access to everything, marrying across the color line, every single thing that we weren't allowed to do. I was very rebellious and I did everything.
I hadn't noticed. No, seriously, I wouldn't have guessed that one.
Very naughty, very rebellious. There's no naughty corner for me. So that is, I think, you know, loving people for who they are is the greatest gift we can give to ourselves first.
Mm.
Because then we see the brilliance behind every single human being we interact with, without prejudgment, without looking to try and put them in a box of our understanding, without trying to dumb them down to our belief systems. We're then open to consider the intelligence of the person in front of us. Good, bad, or whatever, it does not matter. It's a pure acceptance.
Yes. Yes. So when you see, I mean, how do you deal with that? I mean, that sense that, you know, there are some people in every country, there are people who are, I can't think of the word I'm trying to use. I mean, whether they're political people or something, they are difficult. There is something about them that kind of everybody, well, I don't know how to describe this. I guess we have the same thing at the moment. We have a politician in this country who's going to become potentially the leader of our country. And the majority of the country have absolutely no time for the man. And it's like, and the media has absolutely, the media is pillarism. I mean, President Trump is a good example. Okay, so a lot of people in the world find the whole idea that Trump is the American president completely absurd. How does that happen now? So how do we find the compassion in that?
I think Okay, that's a very interesting question, because there's two ways I could answer that. The one is to understand that as a person, we have a voice, yeah, and we have the ability to take full control of our circumstances.
Yeah.
And when we collaborate and unite as a people,
yeah,
where we have, we don't come in with an agenda. If we are noticing that already a leader has got an agenda of their own, we don't come in with an agenda of let's remove them so that we can put somebody else in that would be even more manipulated by us as a mass.
Yeah. Okay.
Because in our country, we've had exactly this. Our past president was easily manipulated by people around the world, and he was easily bought off as a puppet. All they had to do was pull the string. He would sign on the dotted line, and half of the business. Well, there was amazing bribery and corruption happening all the way across our country, and it went to Chinese, Russian, and people from India.
Yeah,
massive amounts of corruption. Now, here's the thing: is as a people. So the second part of this, the first one is either we unite and understand that we have got a voice, and we unite with the purpose or the intention of having a positive outcome, yeah, not just kicking him out because he's merely a cause. He's a symptom. He's a symptom of society. If you look at, he's got a lot of money, he's got a lot of influence, he's got a lot of power, which means that he's got the ear of people. He's one man. If we united as a people, there are billions of people around, yeah, the earth.
Yeah.
So what is stopping people from taking on one man? Perception. Mm-hmm. We are limited in our thinking and sitting in our rooms, in our homes, around the garden, around our tea parties, talking about how useless this person is. But very few of us will take responsibility and say, let's do something about it.
And yeah, that's very true. I can remember my father would moan and complain about politicians and say, would you prepare to be one? Oh God, no, I wouldn't be a politician. So, okay. So, well, if you're not prepared to be that position or do something about it, why moan about it?
Exactly, right? Because how many people actually say, I want to do something about it, but my boss. So we're always talking about them versus us.
Yeah.
There's no sense of responsibility. There are very few people who take responsibility. So we can't get rid of this prime minister or this president because we feel, as an emotional thing, we feel that we don't have a voice. We actually do. Very few people want to take a step back and stand out. We'd rather fit in and complain about amongst ourselves than do something about it.
Yeah.
So the other part of it is, in our country, it came to a point where there had to be a collaborative thinking. Mm-hmm. But not just let's replace him. There had to be a different type of thinking in terms of a change of mindset, a change of belief systems in this country, where people then realized that they deserved a better life and what they were receiving or on the receiving end of was just wrong, and that it was another sense of programming. But it had to take masses of people realizing this for themselves. Now, you could not have a change of mindset or thinking happened overnight. It had to be a few leaders who got together and realized that in order for us to change this country or change this environment and the government in the next elections, we had to have a united voice.
Yeah.
Now, if the masses of people will just follow blindly, because in this country, during elections, if you gave people a t-shirt, you gave them a cap, you had their vote. It was that simple and that stupid. And that is the mass thinking. You can be easily bought because a lot of people are, the word I would use is gullible.
I think
they're gullible enough to believe that the leader has your best intentions because they believe that you are working from a sense of respect, and there's an openness and a community culture here where there's absolute respect for people who are in positions of power. And so they absolutely believe with all of their hearts that what you're saying to them, you're going to follow through. And a lot of people get angry and disappointed after that, and they can't understand, but they bought in to mass thinking.
A lot of people have the same problem. They actually don't want to get involved. They don't want to be involved in politics. They just want to know that people are sorting out the right thing and it will land properly for them. They don't want to be actually actively involved in that.
A lot of people don't know that they have a voice.
No.
That's the problem. They don't know that they have a voice. Yeah. And if you look at worldwide, how many countries, if they just banded together, could take out any president that they wanted? Your challenge, though, and this is something that I challenge a lot of thinking, who do you put in?
Well, Douglas Adams was an author who wrote a book called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is often quoted. But one of the things he always said there is anyone who has the capacity and power to get into power is obviously not fit to be there. Because the whole process of getting there makes them inappropriate for the job, almost.
Now, look at the trend of what's going on with our presidents. Our president is a billionaire.
Right.
Trump's a billionaire too.
Yeah.
Here's the difference. We've got African principles of leadership.
Right.
Which means that your humanness, your dignity as a person, your ability to serve and see people's needs first is a high priority. And this is why this country is changing. Because the leader does not just have money or Western principles of business. He's got African principles of leadership. Now, what I have found in terms of African principles of leadership in this country is that inclusive leadership is not a word, it's a doing. It's a being. That a leader does not make a decision until they have listened to the voices of all of their people. It is a process called umhlangano.
Oh, lovely. Say that again.
Umhlangano is a meeting of the minds. It is a circle.
Okay.
Right? So in communities, people will sit around. A leader will ask a question and say, this is a challenge that we have as a community. It's always we have a challenge, not I have a challenge. So there's a collaboration in thinking already, which means that I'm not saying that I'm a leader. I'm saying that I'm going to lead by the power that you have invested in me. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, we have a challenge. How are we going to solve this? Which means you've got buy-in, accountability, responsibility from masses of people compared to one or two voices who speak over people.
Yeah.
Now, at the end of the day, at these meetings, and these community meetings are constant. They happen all over the country, and I've had the privilege to experience them for all of these years. It's long. People sit for hours and they discuss and they debate and they talk about it and they argue. And the leader always keeps quiet. The leader always asks good questions. So now if you look at Western principles of business, everybody's talking about mentorship and coaching. Now these guys are coaching in a way where they ask the right questions, but they are listening. There's the difference. They're listening, and before they make a decision, they will just keep asking questions. And they are guided by the people. Then they come up with solutions as a community. Before it is implemented, the leader will then ask, so do you understand this correctly? Are these the different steps that we can follow? Do we have agreement? Nobody implements anything until you've got the agreement of the entire community. So if somebody is still upset or angry or does not agree, the entire community sit over there and they work through understanding what the challenge is, where the person's thinking is. So it's a collaborative thinking. Now, when they do make a decision and implement it, nobody complains because everybody's voices were heard. And if you did not speak up, then it is your fault, your problem. You've got no voice to go against things and say anything wrong, which means that in our country, now when you look at the bigger picture, there was no buy-in for a lot of the decisions made. And this is why there was a lot of anger. There's been a lot of disconnect. There's been a lot of riots because you had our past president, who would sign on the dotted line, sell off incredible amounts of land, open up trade to people that were not part of this country. What he was doing is receiving money, but he never spoke to people. And this is where the disconnect was for our country. Mm-hmm. Now the new president, now you compare billionaire as well. So business-minded, investment-focused, but also community-based leader. He understands that getting people's voices heard is going to help him to lead better. And there's some of the things that a lot of leaders can learn from. Leaders can adjust. From wherever they are right now, they can adjust if they listened more carefully to the people around them instead of running a country as a business for their own selfish reasons. It's been proven time and again that the dissent amongst people is what will bring them down. But the challenge, though, is it destroys entire countries, which will take hundreds of years to repair in terms of the damage, the infrastructure, the service delivery, the letting go of millions of people in terms of economic and social development. Mm. All of that gets affected, and then it lies on the next person to come in and repair the damage of whatever these crazy people did.
Yes.
There's no balance. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think balance is what people need in this world. We do need a combination of the four areas of our world. The North is known for perfection. The West is known for technology. The East is known for spirituality. The South is known for humanity. You combine all four of those areas, there is the balance that everybody seeks and deserves, whether it is in relationships or business. You will have a collaborative way of thinking where everybody feels included, respected, and honored as human beings.
That's nice. That's a nice encapsulation of it.
Yeah.
So I need to ask the question again around passion, because you've given me a really fantastic story of this. So what has been your passion journey throughout of this? Because there is something in all of this that drives you. Any idea what it is?
It is. It is my ability to wake up every single day with the intention to touch the lives of every human being I interact with, whether it is on social media or it is on a face-to-face interaction. My intention is to touch their lives, to make them realize that they are worth it. They're loved and lovable as a human being, regardless of where they come from and what their past experiences were.
Wow. So I almost know the answer to the next question, but I need to ask it anyway, because that's part of the format. So success. Now, this is really interesting because you're in a different culture. So success for my culture was always, I was sold the idea of study hard, get a good job, find a partner, settle down, maybe buy a house, maybe have a family, have the car, and retire and have a good life. That was what I was sold. Right. And it's never going to happen in my generation. I mean, success is a completely different model nowadays. So now, from an African perspective, I would imagine the success model of your culture is very mixed. What is your success model? What do you see as success?
Well, it's a brilliant question, actually. Because, and exactly as you've just said it, success for many people could be the material wealth and the accumulation of things that shows that we've achieved.
Well, it's about security, isn't it? That's about security, achievement and security.
Yes. And it's brilliant to have as well. There's nothing wrong with it. Because yeah. I think it's stunning to have security and to have... things that you feel comfortable with, that you deserve, right? Always knowing that you deserve the best.
But it misses out happiness and joy, because you can have a shit job for the entire life and then retire and hopefully enjoy it. As some of my family did, they worked their guts off to have this fantastic life and died just after they retired.
Yeah. You see, for me now, I've looked at a lot of people who've chased material wealth.
Yeah.
And then their lives. I was actually discussing this with somebody yesterday. There's a difference between life and lifestyle, which determines your success model. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about weight. He was talking about his wife, who wanted to lose weight. And I said to him, has it occurred to you? For her, success is not about the weight issue. It is the feeling good about herself. So for me, success, my success model is based on an abundance mentality. It is an intention that every single day I wake up with gratitude. Gratitude for what I have and the ability to be able to communicate and connect with people. To me, that is success.
Yeah.
If I can touch somebody's life and help them to become successful in their lives by changing the perspective, by guiding them, by adding value to them in the things that I do or write or even contribute towards, or even if I sponsor training, the intention behind it is not to give away to people, but to add value to them.
Yeah.
And when I was looking at your question, what is my success model? I actually thought it is creating a powerful abundance and success mentality every single day, to never take things for granted and to always live in a sense of gratitude for the people around me, the people who added value to me. And when I do that, I have a feeling of peace that envelops me.
Mm.
And I think for a lot of people, success is seeking something that makes them feel like they've achieved a sense of peace, a sense of I've arrived.
Mm-hmm.
So if they've got the big car, they've got the big house, they haven't quite arrived. They've just bought something.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel being in there? Are you at peace? Do you feel less stressed? Do you have a lifestyle that talks to your environment and the way you interact with people? Did it change you? Or did it allow you to then use that beautiful material wealth you've accumulated of the home to now have more parties and make people feel good about themselves, have warm get-togethers where they feel this is what family should be like? Is it an environment that you created that is filled with love and laughter and memories? And the other thing I thought about your question is to when practicing a success mentality, it is also to set healthy boundaries.
Mm.
A success model for me is setting healthy boundaries to know that I am not limited by other people's behaviors or other people's thoughts, that I'm constantly in a process of adjusting and changing and growing and evolving. Mm. It is embracing what I've had before, understanding where I need development more, and then evolving into a different being constantly every single day. So I'm not limited by who I was yesterday.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm never limited by who I was yesterday.
No.
I now wake up with an excitement to intrigue myself. I fascinate myself with who I'm going to be today.
And that's what quite an interesting, that's a very different mindset, because most people want to stick with what they know. You're saying I'm actually happy to stick with what I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if you think about it, success models for people that would be really stunning is the day you put relationships before money.
Yes. Yes, it would be stunning, wouldn't it?
When a person or a human being is more important to you than financial wealth, that is an abundance mentality will begin to flow into your life. You start to see things and material wealth and money as tools that allows you to do more, be more, grow more, get more, travel more. It is a different thinking. Relationships helps you to create your dreams, achieve your vision, to embrace your purpose. See, I always say, when you're talking about the success model, it's akin to my purpose. Why do I wake up every day? It is as simple as not to make more money to buy something more. It is to touch people's lives today in such a way that they believe that they have got potential and possibilities in their lives. And if we can help more people to see the positive side of life and to break down stereotypes and change their perspective, we then have got powerful human beings with an incredible mindset, a growth mindset, something that stretches them and allows them to see that with healthy boundaries, we can impact millions of lives. We are not limited, which means that everybody's story that is hidden within them has the ability to find a voice to empower much more, many more people. And if we can create that abundance mentality, not in terms of wealth, abundance in the beauty of the human being being explored, then we are getting to a point where we can create a domino effect of excitable, wonderful, happy, healthy human beings.
Yes.
And I think that should be the key to our lives, actually.
Yes. Yes.
It's the pursuit of thoughtfulness and compassion and respect in our everyday interactions.
It's how we put that thing into people's lives early, or into it, so it becomes such a thing that everybody does. Because so many people are content to sit watching Netflix and hope it'll get better.
Yeah.
And that's the summation of their life. You know, they kind of go, oh, I've got no time. And yet they'll spend 6 hours a night binge watching Netflix. And it's like, oh, I've got no time for personal development. No, I can see you haven't. You're busy watching Netflix. Yeah, it's that kind of mentality, isn't it? So look, we have to kind of, I'd love talking to you, and I could extend this out for hours, but I mustn't do this. I have to be disciplined.
Don't be naughty. Don't let me lead you astray.
I have to be disciplined. Otherwise, these things get too long. So look, here's my question. Here's a question for which you don't know. And it's the question which I ask everybody. It is, what is the one question that I should have asked you that I didn't? What is the one question that I should be asking you? It basically means you can say what you like, Arthi. It's so that you don't have to put the phone down and go, I wish I'd said this.
I don't know, I actually loved your questions were intriguing, because it took us onto so many different platforms.
Mm.
Who am I really compared to what you've just seen?
So who are you really, Elsie?
I think no simple answer, but one of the things that is really intriguing is there's a depth to my mind that allows me to push past all of the things that I've ever learned or experienced. And there is a burning desire within me to work out different ways every single day. I'm in pursuit of the type of people that resonate at a very high level. So what we see in our everyday interactions with people, the simplicity of people, the beauty of people, that is our everyday people. I'm in pursuit of the people that are resonating at a much more higher level, whose mindsets have evolved in a very different way, where their thinking is out of the box. They are not limited. Their belief systems are not limited to your Netflix type of interactions. So what I do every single day for touching lives with our training programs and with our talks and things like that, that is just the tip of the iceberg of what I'm achieving and going to achieve and attempting to achieve and growing every single day and evolving to want to achieve.
Oh, it wow. Is well, what's the big vision? What's the big vision?
It is to impact this world. Okay. And I'm not limited. It is using all of these platforms and engaging with like-minded people, with powerful people. And I'm attracting those kinds of people to me.
Mm.
So when I put my mind to something, I always get it. I believe I deserve the best. And with that type of thinking, I am looking at how I can get other people to believe that they deserve the best. And in order to do that, I need people who are at such a different level of understanding in their lives that they've gone through the different experiences and they don't need healing anymore.
Mm.
They don't need to go through counseling, and they don't need to go through diversity training. They don't need communication skills. They don't need conflict resolution skills. Now, what's amazing about that is there's thousands of people like that.
There are.
And I am getting to find all of those unique human beings, unique souls, to add to my life. And I find that I'm attracting them from around the world. And the stunning part is a lot of them are coming through Jan.
Mm.
And the incredible part about our partnership is that we're in an environment where we balance each other. It's the whole yin-yang effect.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at...
For my listeners, you need to introduce Jan because you've just mentioned him.
Jan Roberts.
And yes.
The dude. The love of my life.
The love of your life.
The one you gush about.
I've seen you gushing about Jan. Say more.
Yeah. So other half dude, business partner, creator of a life and lifestyle with me. The person who's impacting this world with me.
Yeah.
The person that walks this journey side by side with me.
Yeah.
Jan Roberts.
Lovely. So Arthi, if people want to connect with you, what is the best way to do so? And who are you looking to connect with?
I want the people who are not content anymore, sitting on their bums in their living room, talking about the challenges of the world. I want the solution-focused solution providers, people who think out of the box, mad, crazy visionaries who are rebels who realize that being succinct and being prim and proper does not work. You need to have a voice so powerful that you can move people just with the gentleness of your words. I want those kinds of people who resonate at a very different level, knowing that we can and will change this world by enticing the goodness of people to come out rather than attacking what is wrong and what is not going right. I want those kinds of people who feel that they've been looking for significance in their lives but just did not have a path to do so, and to work with me and collaborate, and together we can create different systems and programs and various ways of thinking to help other people break their molds of thinking.
And how would they connect with you to start that conversation?
Very simply, with email is perfect. And even, well, I would not say Facebook Messenger because I don't read it.
Okay, LinkedIn Messenger.
But email is brilliant. It's just arthimoore@gmail.com, my full name at gmail.com.
Yeah, and you have a website which I can connect you with you through as well.
We do, keyleadership.com, KI leadership.com.
That will be those links will be on the bottom of the podcast, no problem at all. So we'll get all those links sorted out. So my final question to you, Arthi, which is the big question, really. It's the question that I think if everybody had an answer to it, we would live in a very different world. So tell me, Arthi, for you, what is the meaning of life? Because you see, we're born into this world as animals and we leave this world as animals. We literally have this journey that we take. And for most animals in this world, that every day is just the day and then they die. Well, for humans, we think we are more significant on some level, or we think there is meaning to it. So for you, what is that meaning?
For me, the meaning of life, very simply put, is that life is an experience. Life is an experience. It is a creation of the moments every single day that adds up to epic memories.
That's nice.
For me, life is an experience. We never know what we're going to get, who we will be with, where we will go, what will happen every single moment of our life. So treasure it, honor it, experience it. Chase after what you want in those moments. If you have a sudden craving for something, go and do it, go and eat it, go and create a lifestyle that in that moment makes you feel so happy that you actually chose you over everybody else. So for me, the meaning of life is choosing you and giving and adding value to yourself first before you can add to everybody else, which means that if I am emotionally happy and I feel excited about life, my energy is going to touch the lives of other people and allow them to then entice them to feel happy about themselves. And it's encouraging people. And if we look at every single day is a culmination of various experiences, and moments that adds up to epic memories, then we don't have to sit and wait for when we can afford a holiday, when we can afford a car, when we can afford to go out, when we can afford to have a meal. If you are feeling like you need to do that right now in this moment, be spontaneous, be curious, demand from life what you deserve, and question everything. Never just stay with one way of thinking, because the second you start questioning your own mind, your own brain intrigues you and fascinates you with a very different way of thinking, and you shock yourself into possibilities that you never knew possible. And when you get to that point, you set the intention that you are worth it and that you deserve it. And because you deserve the best, you embrace those memories.
And you get it.
And then you have the most incredible life, and you don't have to have a bucket list.
So thank you, Aarti. Thank you so much for your time today. It has been a pleasure talking to you, and I've so thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think you and I will be speaking again sometime.
Well, it's an absolute privilege. For me, it is a privilege and an honor to be on platforms such as yours, because we never know who is listening and how we can touch somebody's life because of it. So thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Arthur Moore. All the best.
Thank you.
And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Arthur Moore. If you would like to get in touch with Aarti, and she's looking for some people to talk to her, you can find her on LinkedIn and Twitter, and her website is www.keyleadershipinstitute.com. As always, you can find these links at the podcast website, lifepassionandbusiness.com, and they'll be underneath the podcast player. Well done for taking the time to get to the end of this program. I hope you found the conversation with Aarti as inspirational as I did. If you like these programs that I produce, please follow, subscribe and comment, or just share it on social media. Well, there are always more guests in the pipeline, exciting people to talk to. But if you'd like to be on this show, drop me a line. I would love to talk to you too. As always, thank you for your time and attention, and I will catch you later.